Okay, Matthew chapter 21, guys. And I appreciate you guys being forgiving of me last week to 22-year-old notes and bring the lesson last week because it really helped me. I just couldn't study the way I needed to. I told you that, and I'm always kind of apologetic when something like that happens because I do take it serious and I want to be well prepared for everything I do, as David and Dwayne and all these other guys do. But it was just one of those deals. So we're in Matthew 21, and let's begin in verse 18. It says, "Now in the morning, as he returned unto the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also shall say to this mountain, Be thou removed, and thou shalt cast, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." Now, I'm going to remind you of what we learned just a few weeks ago about the circumstances surrounding Jerusalem. This is the Passover celebration week Jesus has just cleansed the temple. We studied that a couple of weeks ago. And I'll just remind you that during this week, hundreds of thousands of people converged upon Jerusalem for this celebration. It was the most important holiday, if you will, if you want to call it that, or spiritual time in the life of a Jew. And so they would gather by the hundreds of thousands in Jerusalem, which resulted in a great amount of congestion in the city. There were just so many people, there wouldn't have been enough places for people to stay. The limited amount of inns, like what we would refer to as hotels and stuff, they would just have been overcrowded. So the result of that was they would go outside the walls of Jerusalem and they would station themselves wherever they could. People camped. People would stay in the little smaller villages or communities that surrounded the area and just kind of get along as best they could. And that's what Jesus has done here. He's gone outside the city with his disciples, and they've camped somewhere. It's very likely Bethany. That's a place he spent a lot of his time. That was a small community outside the walls of Jerusalem. And then when the day starts, you know, after having a night's rest outside, then everybody would converge back on into Jerusalem within the walls. Of course, there again, a great amount of congestion, but everybody's not asleep. And so then they begin everything, all the extra stuff that was involved with the Passover celebration and all the week. You can imagine it wasn't just a spiritual occasion. It should have been the main focus, but it was like everything. Like when we have the 4th of July and stuff, there tends to be a lot of this, that, and the other going on, refreshments and carnivals and whatever, fireworks. Well, it'd be a little bit like that, not to the same extreme, but in Jerusalem, just a lot of extracurricular stuff going on. So Jesus has made his way back in town, and after a night's rest, he's gone back into Jerusalem to spend the day. And on this particular morning, the Bible tells us, verse 18, that he was hungry. Now, being the Son of God did not exempt him from normal physical needs that human beings have. He was God, yes, but he was God incarnate, and that's in human form, and humans hunger. So Jesus got hungry just like anybody else. And in seeing the fig tree, he hoped to go to the fig tree and find some fruit on it. Now, let me just quickly digress for just a moment and talk a little bit about fig trees. I always like, when I study, I learn things, and I like to pass it on to you. And these are some things that I discovered in studying this lesson. Fig trees were fairly common in that region, in the Holy Land, in the land of Palestine, okay? In fact, the Bible described the Promised Land back in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 8. It says it was a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, okay? So that described this land way prior to the, before Israel ever getting to move to that land, okay? So fig trees were common. Fig trees can grow, to my understanding, to up to 20, 25 feet high, and they could get equally as wide. The limbs can get equally 20 to 25 feet wide, which meant they were great shade trees. And so we'll get to that in just a moment, but it was a very desirable tree for that reason. Besides the figs, was just they made great shade trees. People wanted them in their yard. They wanted them in their area because in those times there was a lot of leisure time spent outside. They weren't like us watching TV under the air conditioner. They were out in the shade. And so traditionally, people would use them for that purpose as well as the figs that they offered, okay? Now, in John chapter 1, when it you read over there in that passage about Jesus calling, began to call his disciples, and he called Philip. And the scripture says that Philip went and got Nathanael, which was his good friend, and brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus, when he was walking up, Jesus, I'll just paraphrase, he says, what did he say? He said something, folks. Good night. I had it in my mind earlier, and he said something along the lines of, there is a Jew wherein there is no guile, and I can't remember exactly it was said. But anyway, he addressed him, okay, in simple terms. He addressed Nathanael, and Nathanael's like, how do you know me? It was, and he says, when I called Philip, I saw you sitting under the fig tree. And so there again, it was a very common thing for people to gather under the fig trees in the shade. Now, the Bible also tells us in Zechariah, God promises that at the second coming of the Lord, which we still await, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor. In other words, he says, y'all going to get along. People are going to get along. And every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree, which is simply painting a picture of people getting along, sitting around in the shade under the fig tree, you know. And so it really paints a good picture of peace and the way it will be when the Lord returns. So the fig tree itself is symbolic of blessing and prosperity. But here's what I also learned in my studies. The absence of the fig tree is symbolic of barrenness and actually judgment. So history tells us that after the Jews had rejected Jesus and of course crucified him, in the years that followed, of course, God's hand of judgment was on upon Israel and still is today to a great degree for their rejection of the Messiah. And of course, part of those judgments was what almost immediately, I mean, in short time after the Lord left this earth, was Palestine began to get invaded by its neighbors. And it's it was under great tyranny of Rome, first of all. And over the course of time, the entire region would fall into the hands of Roman invaders or anybody else. And what would take place is these invaders came in. They didn't care anything about the land, didn't care anything about the property. And they would begin to cut trees down for fuel for their fires and for making their war machines or whatever they needed, building things out of the wood. And they would just kind of, for lack of a better term, rape the land of the trees. And when the basic lumber trees were gone, then they resorted to cutting down the fruit trees and the shade trees and these sort of things, and until they were almost gone. And this is what took place. Literally, history tells that this is what took place in the Holy Land, that land that God said would be a land of pomegranates and figs and all of that, now has become somewhat desolate. And if that hadn't been enough, once the sometime in history there was a tax put on trees. Of course, you and I know they don't have to. They're getting pretty creative on what the tax is on, okay? And so they literally was a tax based upon the number of trees on your property. Well, the result of that is, you know, the government's real good at messing things up. The result of that is people began to cut down their personal trees, their shade trees, their fig trees, to get them out of the way to bring the tax bill down. Can you imagine? And so all of this is a picture of God's allowing the barrenness to come across the land after they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's really those dynamics seem to be incidental. Well, this happened and this happened, but it wasn't incidental. It's in a very real sense, it was a result of God's judgment. In fact, when Israel went back to the Holy Land in 1948, they had a lot of work to do. The land had been, over the course of time, had just been raped and plundered, and of course, Israel being the industrious people and diligent type working people they are, they made it to Promised Land again to a great degree. But anyway, that's another story. This is all a picture of the barrenness of Israel, and let's get back to our text. Normally, a fig tree produced its fruit before the leaves came. I didn't know that, okay? Verse 19 says this, and when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but the leaves only. See, he came, if he saw leaves, under normal circumstances, that would mean that there was fruit there, because the fruit comes before the leaves only. But there were no fruit there. It was just all leaves. And the time of production and the amount of production we know of any tree or any plant has a lot of things bearing upon it. The fig tree, it would vary according to climate and according to altitude as to when it would produce fruit and not. In the lower altitudes and hotter climates, fig trees would produce almost year-round. It was something that there was always just bringing fruit. But this was in Jerusalem. This was a very high altitude. This would have been in cooler type weather. It should be right around the month of April. And so spring is kind of coming on. Normally, though, by this time of spring, there still wouldn't be any figs produced or any leaves on the tree. In fact, if the parallel passage, and I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you guys, but the parallel passage to this in Mark chapter 11 makes the statement, talking about this very event, that it says, for the time of figs was not yet. So Jesus, in a nutshell, has walked up to this fig tree. It's really early to be having those leaves on it. But having the leaves, he walks up to it expecting there to already be fruit. Now, we know that even in our region, a wetter year or an earlier warming up or a later warming up, all of these things affect the trees. Trees don't just bud the same every year. Sometimes they're early, sometimes they're late. And it was not uncommon for a fig tree in this region to do what it's done here. But the problem was there was no fruit. And that's what Jesus uses. We know in the Old Testament, the Bible time and time again uses nature to illustrate certain things. God would use animals, weather, trees, plants, flowers. He even used ants over in Proverbs. You would use the various things of nature to illustrate certain spiritual truths. You read throughout all the prophecies, you'll find this, that, and the other. They were pictures, natural pictures of something spiritual, and that's the way God would do. Well, Jesus was no different. When he came and he was teaching, we see it time and time again, he was continually giving parables, he was continually teaching spiritual truths using the natural to illustrate it, okay? And so that's what he's doing here. I never realized this before until I began to study this, but this is a picture, this lack of fruit on the fig tree is a picture of the spiritual barrenness of Israel, of the nation of Israel, of the Jews. They were a spiritually degenerate nation by this point. They were fruitless, if you will. So with his words, he curses this tree, pronounces its doom, if you will, you're barren now, you're going to get worse, is essentially what he's saying, which illustrates the future of Israel. Because it does, in fact, they're already fruitless. They're not spiritually what they're supposed to be as a nation and as individuals. And so once they crucify Jesus, we just talked about some of the things begin to happen. It goes downhill from there. Israel was, all their appearances were there. I mean, they seemed fine. They were still going to the temple. They were still wearing their big, all the religious hierarchy were wearing their robes and their phylacteries and saying their public prayers and all the outward appearance, like the tree had leaves, it had the outward appearance, but in reality, they were barren inside. They were not spiritually have any spiritual depth whatsoever, and even though they practice their religious ceremonies outwardly, that was about all they had going on. They had nothing going on inwardly, and so that lack of fruit told the truth about their lives, what they really were, and what the problem was. Okay, they were spiritually dead, like the fig tree, had leaves. But it was spiritually barren. It bore no fruit. Now, the true condition of the fig tree was it was fruitless, and the true condition of Israel was it was fruitless. And now the fig tree has been cursed. Jesus says that you'll never bring forth fruit again, and it begins to dry up. Well, the same exact thing would happen with the nation of Israel. It would begin to dry up, and then 40 years, just in four short decades, the Romans would ransack Jerusalem, destroy the temple, and in doing so, really in one fatal swoop there, they put an end to Israel as a nation. It really put an end to them nationally and spiritually. Now, does that mean all the Jews died? We know that's not the case. But they lost their national identity at that point. They lost their spiritual identity at that point. They no longer had a temple to go to, and a place to worship and a place to do the things of God. And so that took place 40 years after this, after Jesus was crucified. And it's that way still today. Now, they've gained their statehood. Yes, they've gone back to the Promised Land, 1948, and there's an element, they've really regained their nationality. They've never regained their spirituality, their spiritual identity. They still don't have a temple. They still don't get to practice what they would like to practice. And they're still in denial of the real Messiah, and therefore, they're still fruitless. They're dried up and desolate spiritually, okay? And I've never really understood this particular passage like that and the significance of it, but this study, it becomes very clear to me that this is the case, and it always made me kind of wonder what the deal with the fig tree was. Let me just ask you, if you will, to turn, and when I'll get you out of here, turn the page over to Luke chapter 13, and I want to look at another passage relating to a fig tree at a different time, Romans chapter 13. And in this case, it was different circumstances. It was just a parable. And it says in verse 6, it says, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and he found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on the fig tree and find none. Cut it down." He said, do away with it, okay? Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it taking up space, okay? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year till I dig about it and dung it or fertilize it. It's what that's being said there. And if it bear fruit, well, but if it don't, then we'll cut it down. Now, he just plugs that parable in there. If you'll notice, the very next verse, he just moves on to the healing of the woman, the scripture does. He just plugs that little parable in there. And again, it's a picture of Israel because they were barren. The fig tree had been planted in a vineyard. If you know anything about vineyards and the study of that, that was the prime area for growth, a vineyard was. It was well fertilized. It was well irrigated. It would have been as shielded from the inclement weather as it could possibly be by hills or hedges and these sort of things. And it was a prime place before growing grapes, right? Well, if you plant a fig tree in a vineyard in that prime location, you would think that, I mean, it's got the best of the best offered to it. It ought to really bring forth fruit, right? But he comes to his vineyard and sees his fruit tree, and it's not. There's no fruit there in this parable. Well, Israel had been given so much. The promised land reminds me of a nation we live in. Given so much opportunity, so much prosperity. All of this had every reason to bring all sorts of fruit before the Lord. And guess what? He came year after year, and there was none. He says, cut it down. Now, I'm out of time here, but let me just say something that's in there. Notice he said 3 years he came. I don't know whether there's anything to this, but it certainly was not something that originated with me. But as I studied this, John MacArthur makes note of the fact that Jesus was on this earth 3 years. So maybe perhaps Jesus is illustrating that, hey, each year I've been right here before you observing my vineyard. And you as a fig tree have not brought any fruit, so it's time to cut you down. I don't know whether that's what he's saying or not, but it sure makes sense to me, okay? All of this is a picture of God expecting fruit from his nation, his children Israel, and them not bringing it forth, okay? Appreciate you guys very much. We'll go ahead and stand. Hopefully I made up for last week and my old notes, okay? And it's good to have Bryce with us. Bryce is going to be home for a few weeks, going to be preaching for us Sunday after next, Sunday night. And so that'll be good. Bryce, will you lead us in prayer, please?